and sisters. Eek. And let's begin with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us here safely and all of the provisions of grace and mercy that you have given us throughout the week. I pray that you equipped each one of us with your spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we can be able to know you better. Open the eyes of our hearts so that we can be able to see and understand wonderful things in your law. And I pray that you continue to give us your Holy Spirit throughout the week so that we can be able to put your word into practice. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. So today, the verses that I chose to talk about, the reason why I chose Hebrews chapter 13, verse 9, and Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 to 21. If we look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 9, it says, the point that I want to focus on Hebrews chapter 13, verse 9, is where it says, it is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace. So what I want to talk to you about today is how it is good for us to be strengthened by grace, which is through blessings inside and outside. If we look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 to 21, how can our hearts be strengthened by grace? In 20 to 21, it says, may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of his sheep, equipped you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So we can see that in order for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, God has equipped us with all good things so that we can be able to do his will and be able to do what is pleasing to him. And what are these good things that God has equipped us with? Well, the first thing would be blessings, which would be outward grace. So in terms of blessings and outward grace, if we look at John chapter 1, verse 16, what does it say in John 1:16? John 1:16 says, from the fullness of his grace, we have received one blessing after another. So what kind of blessings have we received from God? What multiple blessings has God given us? If we look at Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22, it talks about how God has given us all of the wealth and possessions that we own. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22, it says, the blessings of the Lord bring wealth, and he adds no trouble to it. So unlike any wealth that we can gain from man, the wealth that we get from God does not come with any trouble, any worries, or any sadness. If we look at other things that we can receive from man, if we decide to chase after wealth through our own means, if we look at Psalms chapter 16, verse 4, in Psalm 16:4 it says, the sorrows of those will increase who run after other gods. I'll not pour out their libations of blood or take up their names on my lips. So how is this related to wealth? If we look at money and how a lot of people put a lot of time into making money and to getting rich, we can consider those to be other gods. If we put all of our efforts into making money and not into the word of God and into receiving blessings directly from God, we can see that it says that here in Psalms chapter 16, verse 4, that our sorrows will increase. Whereas if we follow God and we allow him to, and we do what's pleasing to him and allow him to bless us, then we can see that the blessings and wealth that we receive from God don't come with all the sorrow, sadness, or trouble. If we look at Psalms chapter 24, verse 1, The reason why God can bless us with so many good things is because everything belongs to God. So from Psalm 24:1, it says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." So since everything belongs to God, he is able to give us all good things and equip us with everything. If we also look at Romans chapter 11, verse 35, we can see that not only does everything belong to God, but everything we have, it's important that we remember that it is given to us from God. In Romans chapter 11, verse 35, this is what Paul has recorded. Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? So if we truly think about it, nothing on earth belongs to us, but it has all been provided to us from God through one means or another. And what else does Paul teach us about what we own and about wealth? If we look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 to 18. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 to 18, it says, "Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life." So here, in terms of earthly blessings, when we look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 to 18, we can see that what God is commanding us, especially when we now have these earthly blessings from God, is that we shouldn't forget who has given us all of these good things. But rather, here it says that we should not be arrogant and we shouldn't put our hope in our wealth, in any of the possessions that we own. But rather, we should put our hope in God. And why is that? It's because God richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Because we need to remember that everything that we have is from God, and that instead, with all the good things that God has given us, we should look at that as resources that God has provided us so that we can be able to do his will. And based on 1 Timothy 6, verse 18, what is his will with these good things that he has given us? It's not just so that we ourselves alone can enjoy those good things. But if we look at verse 18, it says, "Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share." So here we can see that with the good things that God has provided us, with the material that God has provided us, we should use it to be able to do good deeds, and we should be willing to share with other people. And if we do that, in verse 19, it says, "In this way, they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life." So we should not be content with just earthly treasures in the here and now, but we should also think about heavenly treasures, about how we can be able to be rich not only here in this earthly life, but also be rich in the future life as well, which is through using the resources God has given us to be able to further his kingdom and to help other people. So in terms of why God has blessed us with these material goods, if we look at Psalms 105, verse 44 to 45. Why does God show us all of these good things and reveal to us all of these good things and also provide us with this earthly wealth? If we look at Psalms 105, 44 to 45, it says, "He gave them the lands of the nations, and they fell heir to what others had toiled for, that they might keep his precepts and observe his laws. Praise the Lord." So why God gives us all this wealth and all these good things, all these resources, is not only so that we can be able to use these resources to serve him better, but so that we can be more and more encouraged to keep his precepts and to observe his laws, so that we can be more encouraged to obey him, so that we can see the benefits of obeying him and in following him. So besides David in recording Psalms 105, verse 44 to 45, if we look at what Moses says, we can see that he also teaches us the same thing in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 10 to 18. So what does the Lord say through Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 10 to 18? This is what is recorded. "When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful desert, that thirsty and waterless land, with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble and to test you, so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, 'My power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me.' But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers, as it is today." So we can see that even though we work very hard in our current jobs, in our earthly jobs, to make money, this is all from God. Because if God does not provide for each one of us, then we would not have the ability or the power to be able to receive any of this wealth, receive any of this power and strength so that we can be able to produce this wealth. But what God wants from each one of us is, after we have received all of this blessing from God, in verse 10, how does he start off? Is that we should praise the Lord our God for the good land he has given us. So for all the good things that he has given us. And we should not forget God, and we should not receive his grace in vain. But rather, we should remember all the promises he has given us and not just be content and satisfied with these earthly blessings, but rather we should think about what other heavenly blessings we can get as well. So we have talked about blessings, which would be outward grace. What else has God given us? If we look over here, the second thing God has given us is Jesus. He has equipped us with Jesus so that we can also have inner grace as well. So how has he equipped us with Jesus exactly? If we look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 to 17. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 to 17, it talks about how God has equipped us with his word, with the scripture. And the scripture is the word of God and is Jesus as well. So if we look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 to 17, it says, All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So we can see when we read the word of God, when we memorize it, we can see that God has given us everything we need to know in terms of his promises, so that we can be able to know how we can be rewarded. But he also gives us all of the warnings so that we can know that if we continue in doing what is wrong, we would receive cursing from God. So we can see that with his word, he has equipped us with everything we need so that we can be able to receive inner grace and we can be strengthened through his word. The second thing he has provided us so that we can be filled with Jesus and with his spirit is through power. If we look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. If we look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9, it says, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19, it says, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength. So God has equipped us with incomparably great power. And how can we be able to receive this incomparably great power and be able to put it to use? If we look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, you can see that how we can be able to receive this great power and put it to use is through the Holy Spirit. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, talking about this incomparably great power, we can see it says this, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So if we rely on the Holy Spirit and we have his word, then we should be able to have a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So in order for us to have this inner grace, we not only have to follow the word of God, but we also have to ask God to continue to equip us with his spirit so that we can be able to exert his incomparably great power and be able to be filled with his love and be self-disciplined so that we can be able to live a godly life. And with Jesus in our hearts, and also with his word and with his spirit, if we look at Luke chapter 1, verse 74 to 75, we can see that God has enabled us to be able to live a godly life and to be able to serve him without fear. In Luke chapter 1, verse 74 to 75, it says, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. So what pleases the Lord is that since he has given us the ability to be able to live a godly life and to serve him without fear, to live a life in holiness and righteousness all of our days, this is exactly what we should ask God to continue to help us to do and what we should make the effort to do as well. If we also look at Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14, we can see that through Jesus and through Spirit, he has cleansed us so that we can also be able to serve God all the more faithfully. So in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14, it says, how much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God. So we can see that God has given us outward blessings, and after he's given us outward blessings, that is when he also equips us with these inner blessings, with his word, with Jesus and his spirit, so that we can be all the more empowered to serve him and to live a godly life. If we also look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 to 11, you can see that what Peter teaches us is the same as what Paul teaches us in terms of how God has equipped us with everything we need so that we can be able to serve him all the more faithfully and have all, everything we need to be able to do so diligently. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 to 11 says, "Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen." So here we can see there are two things that God has given us. Because he requires us to serve him, and he wants us to be equipped to do all good things in furthering his kingdom, we can see that God has given us gifts in various forms so that we can be able to serve him and to serve others. And we can see that not only has he given us these gifts, but he has also given us strength so that we can be able to use these gifts effectively, so that in all things and through our service to God, we can be able to bring praise, glory, and honor back to God. If we also look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, talking more about strength, we can see that when we serve, it is not through our own means and our own strength, but rather through everything that God has provided us. So if we look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, it says, "I can do all things through him who gives me strength." So since he has given us all of these good things, it's important for us to know that if we look at Psalms chapter 16, verse 2, that apart from God, we have no good thing. That if we only stop at the first blessing, at the first form of grace, that we lose everything in the end. Psalm 16:2, this is what the psalmist says. "I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing." So what God wants from us is that we should desire not only to have outward grace, but also inner grace as well. We shouldn't just only want the earthly blessings, but we should also want to have Jesus in our hearts so that we can be equipped for all good things, with all good things. So it's not just some good things, but rather everything. And if we only want those outward blessings, if we look at Romans chapter 2, verse 4, what we should remember is that the reason why God gives us these outward blessings is so as to spur us on and to continue to encourage us so that we can turn to him and mature in our faith, so that we can also want these inner blessings as well. If we look at Romans chapter 2, verse 4, it says, "Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you toward repentance?" So we can see that in our earthly life, God has given us many outward blessings, but he also does not want us to stop here. He has given us this kindness, tolerance, and patience, hoping that we will not only want these outward blessings, but see the benefits of pursuing these inner blessings as well, and which is to lead us toward repentance and to live a godly life. If we look at Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2, we can see that the proper response for each one of us, if we see the benefits not only of wealth and outward grace, if we see the benefits of inner grace and having Jesus in our hearts, This is how we should respond. So Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2 says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and prove what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." So we can see here that if we truly aren't receiving God's grace in vain, if we see the full benefit, then we should offer our bodies as living sacrifices. We should be willing to serve God because we know that everything we have is from God, and we should know that all the strength and all the energy and power that we need to be able to serve him effectively and faithfully is all from God. If we're able to do this and to see this, if we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 to 17, looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 to 17, it shows that if we are willing to offer ourselves as living sacrifices to God, that means we are willing to look beyond the here and now, but rather to see what we can gain in the future as well. So if we look at 2 Corinthians 4, 16 to 17, it says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." And if we look at 18, it says, "So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." So if we truly think about it, if we only stop with the first point, with blessings from God and outward grace, either way, we still have earthly bodies and we're still wasting away every day for our outward bodies. We continue to grow old and we lose our health and all that. But we can see that if we also want to be sustained and be renewed inwardly and also be able to continue to receive more and more blessings from God, based on 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 16 to 18, we can see that if we are filled with Jesus and his inner grace, that is how we can be able to be renewed day by day. That's how we can be able to not see all the troubles and suffering that we have to encounter here and now, and all the things that we'll lose here and now, but rather for us to be able to have eternal glory and see how the value of that is even greater than what we can gain here. And if we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, and on what is eternal rather than what is temporary, then we will be able to see that it would be all the more beneficial for us to go above and beyond just receiving wealth and being content with that alone. So if we truly are able to see what kind of benefits we can gain in the future and not just in the here and now, if we look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 to 14. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 to 14, it says, "Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of you who are mature should take such a view of things." So here from Philippians chapter 3, we can see that what spurs Paul on towards continuing to pursue God and to get to know him better and better and to serve him all the more faithfully is that he sees the prize that he will get in the end. He's not content with what he has now alone, but rather what is the end reward. In the same way, that is the kind of attitude we all should have as well. We see the earthly things that we have here and now, and that is wonderful, but we should also continue to want more and work all the harder to serve God all the more faithfully and continue to strain onwards and heavenwards toward receiving the final prize. If we go back to Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22, which we looked at when we talked about earthly wealth, about how everything we receive is from God, and the wealth that we receive from God does not come with any trouble. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22, I'll just read that one again. It says, "The blessing of the Lord brings wealth, and he adds no trouble to it." Whereas if we think about the earthly blessings that we get, if we pursue wealth of our own here and now and only focus on pursuing wealth, if we look at Proverbs chapter 19, verse 23, we can see that in the end, how are we able to continue to have this earthly wealth from God and also to continue to be blessed by God? The reason why Solomon is able to teach us to rely on God and that the blessings of God is to be able to receive this wealth, which comes with no trouble, is because the person who receives this blessing from God and is able to keep it is one who fears the Lord and continues to follow God. So from what we can see in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 23, you can see Proverbs 19:23 says, "The fear of the Lord leads to life. Then one rests content, untouched by trouble." So if we want to hold on to what we have and to gain more and more, what God requires of us is that we need to fear him and to continue to walk in his truth. Whereas if we don't focus on fearing him and living in accordance with his words, if we only focus on gaining earthly blessings, if we look at Proverbs chapter 23, verse 4 to 5, we can see that in the end, if all of our strength, all of our efforts is focused on earthly wealth, that it would be for nothing. So if we look at Proverbs 23, 4 to 5, it says, "Do not wear yourself out to get rich. Have the wisdom to show restraint. Cast but a glance at riches, and they are gone. For they will surely sprout wings and fly off to the sky like an eagle." So we can see that this is talking about earthly riches, the here and now. But rather, our focus should not be just on the here and now, but should be on the future wealth that we can receive from God. So now that we've talked about all of this, the two things that we can receive from God, what is one Bible example of someone who received both inside blessings and outside blessings? And that person would be Abraham. So if we look at Genesis chapter 24, verse 1, what does God say about Abraham? In Genesis chapter 24, verse 1, it says, "Abraham was now old and well advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed him in every way." So we can see that throughout the life of Abraham, he received blessings from God in every way. And we will explore how he received blessings from God, not just outward blessings in terms of his wealth, but he also received inward blessings, where he was strengthened by faith and strengthened by grace. So if we look at verse 35, this talks about the outward grace that Abraham received. In Genesis chapter 24, verse 35, it says, "The Lord has blessed my master abundantly, and he has become wealthy. He has given him sheep and cattle, silver and gold, men servants and maid servants, and camels and donkeys." So we can see that from the earthly sense, God has richly blessed Abraham. He has given him silver and gold, sheep and cattle, men servants and maid servants, everything that he would want at that time. So in terms of how God has also blessed Abraham inwardly, we can see that God gave him all of this blessing, not just in the later portion of his life, but also in the earlier portion of his life, before God required anything of Abraham. If we look at Genesis chapter 22, how Abraham was strengthened by grace, we can see that it's not only because he has received the outward blessings, but then after he received the outward blessings, that is when God tested him. So I'll just read 22 to each one of you. "Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, 'Abraham, here I am,' he replied. Then God said, 'Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about.' Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, 'Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you.' Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, 'Father.' 'Yes, my son,' Abraham replied. 'The fire and the wood are here,' Isaac said, 'but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?' Abraham replied, 'God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son.' And the two went on together. When they reached a place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, 'Abraham, Abraham.' 'Here I am,' he replied. 'Do not lay a hand on the boy,' he said. 'Do not do anything to him, for I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son.' Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, 'The Lord will provide.' And to this day it is said, 'On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided.'" So if we look at the faith of Abraham, we can see in verse 2 God's request to Abraham. And what God requested is that he should take his son, Isaac, and God emphasizes his only son, whom you love, and to go to a region of Moriah to sacrifice him there as a burnt offering. And we can see that for Abraham, how he was strengthened by grace is because he truly believed in the word of God. And what was the word of God to Abraham? If we look at Genesis chapter 15, verse 4 and 5. Genesis chapter 15, 4 to 5 says, "Then the word of the Lord came to him, 'This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir.' He took him outside and said, 'Look at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them.' Then he said to him, 'So shall your offspring be.'" So this is what God has, the covenant that God has made with Abraham. And this was before he had a son. And also before he had a son, before he had Isaac, if we look at Genesis chapter 17, verse 9, God very specifically told Abraham that it's through Isaac that he would have these descendants, and it's through Isaac that the covenant will be fulfilled. So from Genesis 17, verse 9, it says, sorry, 17, verse 19. Then God said, yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. So we can see that God has not only told him about how he would bless him and give him these descendants, but he has also told him specifically that it was through Isaac. And we can see that when God tested Abraham, how he was strengthened by grace is because he believed in the word of God. And you see that because he believed in the word of God, God not only gave him the requirement, but God also provided for him in the end. So the same way when we look at ourselves and what we have to give up in terms of so that we can be able to be richly blessed by God, so that we can have this inner grace, we should also think about how God also provides for each one of us. He will also provide us with the strength and the resources we need so that we can be able to effectively do his will. And what we can learn from Abraham, if we look at Romans chapter 4, verse 20 to 21, is that we too should not waver through unbelief. And we should not be content with what we have here and now, but we should be willing to put our faith into practice. So what it says in Romans chapter 4, verse 20 to 21 about Abraham, it says, yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. So his faith in God is not just before Isaac was born, that God would truly bless him with an offspring, but also when God tested him, and he believed that God is able to provide and that God would give him exactly what he had promised. And we also look at Romans chapter 4, verse 17, says, as it is written, I've made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things as though they are not, they were not. As though they were. So we can see here that what we can learn from Abraham is if we truly want to receive full blessings from God, that we should believe in him all the way, that we should follow him all the way, that we should be willing to give up anything that God has commanded us to give up in order to serve him all the more faithfully and believe that God will in the end provide. And you see here, God, of course, provide for Abraham. So in the same way, if he requires things from us, no matter how hard it looks like it is for us to be able to do it, be able to give it up, we should know that God will reward us or repay us in the end for all of our hard work. So let's end off with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for what you have taught us today in terms of how it is good for our faith and our hearts to be strengthened by grace. And I pray that you give us not only earthly blessings, but help us that we can be able to look beyond and also get the inner grace as well, so that we can be strengthened and empowered by you, so that we can be able to serve you faithfully and be able to lay up treasures for ourselves, not only in the earthly life, but also in the future life as well. And I pray that you help us that we can be like Abraham, that we will not waver through unbelief, but rather that we can know that you will provide for us and that you will strengthen us throughout our life with you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen.